Praise God. I'm Pastor Rusty Gray, and I want to so thank you for joining me at Tuya Christian Fellowship at Church Online. I'm so grateful you've taken time to be with me as we look in the Word together. Before we get into God's Word, I would really like to take a moment and just pray for you and encourage you. Lots of people have not been attending church because they've been quarantining. They haven't been able to. And I want you to know we love you. I want you to know that my wife and I, Miss Vicki, pray for you regularly, that you're not alone, you're not forgotten, and that we care about you dearly. I want to thank those of you that are watching and you've been supporting us financially. We're grateful for your support because we're still doing lots of ministry. We're getting ready right now to begin to get ready for school, hopefully starting in the fall for Ground Zero and Power Kids. And so we have a lot of good things going on. Let me take a moment and let me pray for you. And then I've got some amazing things to show you in the Word. So join me right where you are. Father God, I want to thank you right now for every person who's joining me at Church Online. And Father, I speak life over them. I speak peace over them. I speak grace over them. I speak hope over them. Father, I thank you that you promised that you would protect us, you'd surround us with your angels. You said that no plague would come near our dwelling. Father, in the coming weeks and months, Lord, as we move into the last half of summer, that your hand is on our lives, our families, our children, and our grandchildren. Father, bless and move on our lives. Father, move on those who are watching, who are not able to attend, and that you fill their hearts right now with faith and hope, and you fill their homes with your life and grace. And Father, I'm thankful for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. We've spent nearly the entire summer talking about faith. And I was thinking, just as I was about to go on the air, that it's really been the summer of faith. And we began way back in June. And I talked about how last September, I took our men to men's retreat. And I asked the men to write down on paper what they wanted God to do in their lives at men's retreat. And across the board, the majority of them wrote down that they wanted to be better men. And God really stirred in my heart as I began to think about that and some ways to minister to the men about that. And the very first thing that came into my heart was that you have to take care of eternity. The very first thing you have to do is make sure you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Now, you may think, Pastor, you really have been talking about this all summer. It seems like you've taken a lot of time. Well, here's what I need you to know. If you don't get this right, nothing else matters. If you don't get right with God, if you don't take care of eternity, if you don't take care of making sure that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and that you're a Christian, nothing else matters. The rest of your life doesn't matter. And what's more frightening than that is eternity doesn't matter. And so we looked at Romans 3:22, and I want to remind you of that verse. It's the New Living Translation. It says, we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. That verse, that translation, to me, could not be any more simple. Listen to it again. You and I are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have taken care of eternity. You are right with God, and heaven is your home. And if you've not done that, I would encourage you, I would beg you to take care of it today. Then the next thing we talked about was, okay, now what? Okay, I have faith in Christ. I'm right with God. Well, we talked about the next thing you need to do is to begin to read your Bible. And we talked about that you don't need to read your Bible all day, but you need to read it every day. You need to take time every 24 hours to spend a few moments, spend a few minutes in the Word of God and read the Bible. Listen, you will not have a vibrant, real, growing relationship with God. You will not be a strong Christian apart from the Word of God. You can't. It's impossible. But as you read God's Word and you take time to read it every day, what did we find out? Well, we found out in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Every time you read your Bible, I read my Bible to myself and I read it out loud where I can hear it. And so I see God's word with my eyes. I hear God's word with my ears. And when I do that, I'm growing my faith. And that's important. Why does it matter to grow your faith, Pastor? Because faith answers prayer. Faith is the key to the kingdom of God. In fact, we found out in Hebrews 11:6 that it's impossible to please God without faith. It says so. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. But here's what happens. Every time you and I read our Bible, we're growing our faith. Now, don't miss this. That's the way you grow your faith. Pastor, how do I grow my faith? You grow your faith by reading your Bible. And then that pleases God. Because as you build your faith, it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you have faith, and so God is being pleased. Then it says that when you come to God, you must believe that He is. Listen, it'll settle in your heart as you read your Bible. You'll begin to move into a place where you will starve your doubts. You'll feed your faith. And you'll begin to know, hey, God is alive, God does know me, and God is moving in my life. That takes care of that question. Then the last thing it says is after you come to God and believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We found out that God's nature is to reward. God is a rewarder. I love that. That's His heart, and that is nature. Then we looked at three simple benefits to reading your Bible. The very first one is you'll begin to know who God is. You'll begin to understand His nature. You'll begin to understand His character. As you read His book, you'll know Him better. The second thing that'll happen is you'll begin to know and understand who you are through God's eyes, not through your eyes, not through the eyes of someone else, but through God's eyes. You'll begin to know who you are. Then the last thing is you will find out what belongs to you. All right, the word for that's inheritance. The Bible says you and I have an inheritance. All right, listen, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I'm a son of Almighty God. You're a son and daughter of Almighty God. And with that comes citizenship, rights, benefits, and privileges. And as you begin to read the Bible, you'll begin to find out what belongs to you. And the scripture says this. It says the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Listen, anytime you find a promise in the Bible, all right, I've got a Bible right here just for an object lesson. Anytime you find a promise in this book, the answer from God is yes. Hey, God, can I have this promise? The answer is yes. Hey, Lord, I found another promise in your book. Can I have it? The answer is yes. The promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Then the next thing we found out is genuine faith changes you. As you read your Bible, you grow your faith. As you grow your faith, I guarantee you, you'll begin to change. Your desires will change. Your thought life will change. Your plans will change. Your dreams will change. Listen, genuine faith in God will change you. Listen, if your faith is not changing you, if you're not growing, then I wonder about your faith. If your Christianity is not changing you, then I wonder about your Christianity. Because I know genuine faith causes you to grow and causes you to change. Then the next thing we talked about was how God's word is health to all your flesh. That's Proverbs 4:20. Now, the original word there is the word medicine. And here's what it says. Here's what the Bible says about itself. The Bible says about itself that when you read the Bible, it's medicine to your flesh. Now, why do we take medicine? We take medicine to improve our health and well-being. Every time you read the Bible, you're taking God's medicine. What if every time you read the Bible, you said that to yourself out loud? Father God, I thank you right now that I'm taking your medicine as you read the Bible. Now, here's what's amazing. God's word is infused with medicinal healing properties and qualities. And when you read the Bible, it's medicine, it's health, It's healing to your flesh. It'll bring peace to your mind. It'll bring faith to your heart. And it'll bring healing to your flesh. Then we found out when you read God's word, it feeds you. Jesus made this statement. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every one of us eat physically. I eat and you do too. Well, God also wants us to feed on his word. And as you feed on God's word, as you will, if you eat God's word, if you will, when you read it, you're feeding on it. Okay, you grow in Christ because you're feeding on God's word. Then the next thing was that God's word will guide you. And we found out that God's word, the Bible says about itself, that it's a lamp. All right, it's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Listen, if you don't know what to do in your life, if you don't know what direction to go, if you don't know what, you know, you think to yourself, hey, I don't know what God's plan or purpose for me is, I can give you a very simple way to find that out. Begin to read your Bible. And the scripture says, as you read your Bible, God's word will guide you and it will lead you. Let me tell you something else it'll do. It'll give you peace. Then we went to Hebrews 11:1, and we talked about what the Bible has to say about faith. Let me remind you of the verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, there's a difference between faith and hope. This verse uses the word hope. What's hope? Hope is something I want, something in the future, something I want to happen in my life. All right, but for it to come about, it has to be connected to my faith. You see, faith is the word now faith, which means when I pray and I trust God, he begins to hear me now. He begins to move now. It's not something that's going to happen in the by and by. It says now faith is the substance. Now, the Moffat Bible translation uses the word confidence. Here's what it says. It says now faith is the confidence of things that we hope for. You see, I put my confidence in the promises of God. I put my confidence in the Word of God. How do I do that? Well, I read it, my faith grows, I pray, and then I trust what the book says. The Amplified translation says title deed, and I love that. Well, you know, title deed has to do with real estate, and it's proof of ownership is what it is. If I have a piece of property and I have the deed to it, then what that means is I own that piece of property. Okay, your faith is the title deed or your proof of ownership to the promises of God. All right, let me use the book one more time. Okay, this book is filled with the promises of God. We've already found out they belong to us in Jesus. So when I find a promise, I say, Father, I thank you. Just let's take the promise of healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes we're healed. Okay, Lord, you said in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus was beaten and that healing belongs to me. And I thank you for healing in my body. Whatever kind of sickness you have, whatever's going on in your life, Lord, I thank you for healing in my body. Okay, that promise and your faith is the title deed to the answer. It's proof that it belongs to you. So you don't ever have to wonder, well, I wonder if that's God's will. Well, God's word is his will. And when you find a promise in there, it's his will for your life. And so it's very simple and very powerful to understand that. Now, let me just read you some statements about faith to encourage you. When you get your faith back, you get your fight back. I heard T.D. Jake say that, and I love that. When you get your faith back, you get your fight back. Listen, whatever the enemy's been trying to steal from you or whatever he has stolen from you, sometimes we get discouraged. I've been discouraged. You know, sometimes we give up the fight. I've given up the fight. All right, but when you begin to read your Bible, you begin to grow your faith, you begin to get your fight back, and you begin to stand your ground. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. What does that mean? Well, that means I'm ready to get back in the fight. I'm ready to trust God, and I'm ready to use my faith. The next one says, faith says about itself what God's word says. Listen, when you're walking by faith, you're speaking the promises of God that you're reading in the Bible over your life. Then the last one is faith in God is simply faith in his word. Oh, I love that. Faith in God is simply faith in His Word. Every time you read your Bible, you grow your faith. You're able to trust God more. You're able to love Him more. You grow more intimate with Him. So faith in His Word is faith in Him. Now, with just the few moments that I have left, I want to talk to you about two kinds of faith in the Bible. There's natural human faith, and there's supernatural faith. I want to talk to you about the Thomas kind of faith, and then I want to talk to you about the Abraham kind of faith. I want to go to John chapter 20, and I'm going to start reading with verse 24, and I'm reading out of the New King James. Listen to what it says. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst. Now, I got to stop right there. Okay, Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already been raised from the dead, and he has a glorified body, glorified flesh. And he appears in this room. Now, whether he just appears out of thin air or he literally walks through the wall, he has a supernatural body and he supernaturally appears with them. And then listen to what it says. He said to him, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Listen, God is asking you to do the very same thing. Don't be unbelieving, but instead be believing. Then Thomas answered and said, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed." You see, that's the Thomas kind of faith. That's that natural human faith. "Hey, Pastor, I'm not going to believe in a miracle until I see a miracle." Well, then you are walking in the Thomas kind of faith. You're walking in natural human faith. And listen, it will not get you very far with God. It will not get you very far in the kingdom. Listen to what he said. He said, "Because you've seen, you believed, but blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Now listen, that's who you and I are. Listen, I've never seen Jesus physically with my eyes. Now the day will come, I will see him. And when I do see him, I won't need faith. The Bible says we have faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Do you know that when we get to heaven, we're not going to need faith and we're not going to need hope? Why? Because we'll be there. I'll see God. I'll see Jesus. I won't need faith to believe that they exist. I'll be able to see them. I won't need hope that they'll hear me when I pray. I'm going to be with them, but we'll always need love. Now, I love what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, "Those who have not seen are blessed." You and I are blessed. Why are we blessed? Well, we're blessed because we believe and we haven't seen. You see, Thomas couldn't believe until he saw, and that's the Thomas kind of faith. And you don't want that kind of faith. You want the Abraham kind of faith. And I'm going to read that to you next in Romans 4, 17 through 21. Now, we're going to go old school. We're going to go King James Version. All right? So let's go to Romans 4, 17, King James Version. Listen to what it says. "As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were." Stop right there. God met with Abraham, who was a sheep herder, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to make a nation out of you." The only problem was Abraham and his wife Sarah were old, and they couldn't have children. And so God's giving a promise to a man who's 100 years old, and basically it's an impossible promise. And it says right here in this scripture that God calls those things that be not as though they were. God told an old man, "You're going to be the father of a nation, and you're going to have children." And in the natural, it was impossible. Okay, the Thomas kind of faith says, "Hey, I won't believe till I see it." The Abraham kind of faith says this, "I'm going to call those things that be not, that haven't happened yet, as though they were." Father, I thank you that I'm blessed and you meet my needs, even though maybe my bank account may be short. Hey, God, I thank you for healing in my body, and healing belongs to me, even though I may have pain in my body. Let me read the next verse. It says, Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now stop right there and listen to me. All right. Abraham's situation in the natural was hopeless. Your situation in the natural may be hopeless. But what did he do? He believed in hope against hope. All right, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, it's hopeless. Well, I'm going to believe in hope against hopelessness. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to trust you till there's no reason to trust you anymore. Verse 19. Abraham being not weak in faith. Now, whoa, stop right there. It says Abraham was not weak in faith. He must have been reading the Bible. Now, he didn't have the Bible like we have the Bible. He certainly didn't have the New Testament. But he had a relationship with God, and there were some things written down. And if he was reading them, it was building his faith. And the scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So it says right here, he was not weak in faith. He did not consider his body, which was dead. Now, he's not dead physically. He's dead as far as being a man and being able to have children. He's an old man. You see, he can no longer produce children. So in essence, he's dead in that regard. When he was 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, Sarah's not physically dead, but she can't have kids. So he's too old and she's too old. And it says they did not consider that. All right, let's keep going. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oh my gosh, there's so much in that. Now look what it says. The first thing it says, he did not stagger at the promise of God. Do you remember what we read last week? We read, don't throw down your confidence. Don't cast off your confidence. Okay, it says right here that Abraham did not stagger. He stood strong. He didn't throw down his confidence through unbelief. Okay, how do you choke your unbelief? You read the Bible. You feed your faith. You starve your doubts when you read the Word of God. That's exactly what he did. And it caused him to be strong in faith. Now listen, and it says he gave glory to God. What does that mean? Listen, when you walk by faith, when you live by faith, when you read your Bible every day, and it makes you strong in faith, it does what? It gives glory to God. It glorifies God. Listen, when you walk by faith and you walk by the Word of God, and God's Word is your standard, and not the world, and not your neighbor, and not the guys you work with, and you're beginning to grow and be changed, it glorifies and pleases God. Wow. Wow, I mean, there's so much in that. Then the last verse, verse 21, it says he was fully persuaded. I love that. Oh, he was fully persuaded. What are you persuaded in? Okay, are you persuaded in God or are you persuaded in something else? What are you fully persuaded in? It says he was fully persuaded that what God promised he was also able to perform. He was fully persuaded that what God said in the book, he would do. That's called faith. I'm reading my book. I'm growing my faith. I become fully persuaded that what God said he would do in my life, he will do. That's the promise of God. That's walking by faith. Now, let me wrap it up. Listen to me. This message, this truth, will absolutely change your life. It changed my life. I learned these truths in the late 70s and the early 80s, and I'm living proof that God can change a life because he changed my life. I said the verse in Psalms, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Can I encourage you? You ought to go back and listen to this message again. It wouldn't hurt to listen to it two, three, four, and five times. Because every time you listen to it, it gets deeper in your spirit. You'll begin to walk more by faith, and it will absolutely, it'll change your life. If you're married, it'll change your marriage. If you're a parent, it'll change your parenting. It'll change your kids. It'll change your job. Listen, these simple truths from God will absolutely bring you into a new place of grace, a new place of hope, a new place of peace. It'll change your life. All right, let me pray for you. Let me just take a moment and close. Father God, thank you. Father God, I want to thank you for those who've joined me online and who've heard this amazing message as we've studied your word. Father God, I want to thank you. If there's anybody watching that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would simply right now say, Jesus, come into my life, and I know that you will. If you've not done that, I want to encourage you right now. Just invite Christ into your life. Just like I said in the very beginning of this message, take care of eternity. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you'll be right with God. Father, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I love you. I'm praying for you. I pray you're encouraged. I pray you're blessed and that God's hand is on your life. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.